A medical expert recently said that listening to the Ron Van Dam Show can improve your IQ. Okay, her area of expertise is toe fungus, and she said it in a bar, drunk, to Ron. But still, a medical expert said so. You and your toe fungus are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Come on in.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Close the door. Take a seat. I'm going to do a show for you. Should take about half an hour. When it's over, you can go do something else. Hey, put that down. That's not necessary. Put that down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for your unyielding applause. It's deafening. How are you? Good to be with you. It's a radio show. Let's not get out of hand here. It's not that important. You relax your mind for a little while. I'll take over from here. I'll drive the bus. You just sit back and get some sleep while I talk. Yeah. Anyway, boy, I'll tell you, thanks for asking. You know, I'll tell you, yesterday I had an episode. Well, I'm doing an episode right now. But I had an episode yesterday. I wanted to... The young lady with which I share my abode wanted to see the Alvin Ailey dance troupe. I live in the Boston area. Not proud of it. I'm not ashamed. It just happens to be. And there's a large, gigantic theater, probably seats 5 million people. I don't know. It's like a gigantic theater. Very, very nice place. And the Alvin Ailey dance people are going to be there for like 4 performances toward the end of May, I believe it is, or the beginning of May. What the hell? That's not the point. So she wanted to go. So I said, okay, whatever you want, which is that is a phrase that I mutter continually through my entire life. Okay, whatever you want. And it's not that I want to necessarily please the other person. I just don't want to hear it. You know, it's just, right. If I do this for you, will you stop talking about it? So, so I did it. I was prompted and motivated to do so. So I went online to buy tickets. The event is being sold by Ticketmaster. We're all familiar with Ticketmaster. They have a lot of lawsuits against them over the years because of the mishandling of their business. But you have no choice. The only way to get tickets is through Ticketmaster. Now, I found out the number for the name of the theater. It happens to be called the Wang Theater. I don't know the Wangs personally, but apparently they were big people in the theater business. So I look it up and I find the phone number for the Wang box office. Am I boring you? Excuse me, I'm talking. I find the number for the box office. I figure if I deal with the box office, I can't go wrong. Ticketmaster, I can go very wrong. I get the number for the box office. I call the number. Somebody answers the phone and I say, is this the Wang Center box office? And they say, no. And I said, well, this is the phone number that it gave me. I said, yes, the Wang Center box office is only open an hour before the performance. Oh, well, how do you get tickets? Oh, which event are you talking about? And I said, it's the Alvin Ailey dance troupe. And they said, oh, that's being handled by Ticketmaster. I said, so that's the only way you get tickets. I said, yes. They're handling the event. What does that mean? The theaters don't handle the event anymore. The events are just renting out the theaters for productions and then they sell tickets to it. Are we renting out rooms now? Is that what we're doing? Yes, that's what we're doing. Ticketmaster takes charge of the event, runs the event, and I can't do a damn thing about it. But the woman with which I live on a daily basis wishes to see this event. I have no freaking choice. I'm what they call in a box. So I go online. I know how to do that. I know how to push the button on the keyboard and go online. And I find the Ticketmaster site, and it shows me the seats, and I can pick my seat, which is something I did in high school, and they threw me out for a while for doing that in public. But that was different. So I pick some seats, one of them on the aisle, because I have very long legs, and that's just the way it goes. And my lovely young lady also has long legs, but you can also, you know, we have to fight over who sits on the aisle. But anyway, so I get the seats. $99 a seat. Okay. Whatever. All right, that's $200 now. All right. So I go online and I purchase them with my credit card. And then the amount shows up that's going onto my card. It's not $200. It's $250. Excuse me? I thought they're $99 a seat. Oh, yeah, but then there's taxes and fees. It's not taxes. It's just fees. Fees for what? What did you do? Oh, God. It's about a quarter of the entire price I'm paying now in fees. What? Anyway, so, but I buy it because I'm in a box again and she wants to see the thing. And I don't mind. I know I'd like to see it too. It's something to do. It's that or eat a sandwich. So I say to myself, okay, Ron, you know, you don't do this all the time. It's not a big deal. Don't be a cheap ass. Get the tickets. So I did and I hit the thing. And then I wait for the email to say, print your tickets here, and I can print the tickets and bring them over to the place, and everything's done. Of course, in order to park my car in Boston, I don't live in Boston, in order to park my car in Boston, that's about $40. This thing's running me over $300 now. And if I'm going to have dinner and drinks, I have to second mortgage my home. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Also, to satisfy the woman with whom I share a life with, and also to make her happy. So, and myself as well, of course. So anyway, so that's it. That's the expenditure. So then the email comes, and I open up the email, and I get ready to print the tickets. Come to find out, I can't print the tickets. Apparently, what I've purchased, and the only way to get tickets to this thing, is to use my phone. I have to create an app on my phone, and I have to get the tickets to show up so that they can scan my phone when I get to the theater. I hate that. I try to avoid that as much as possible because when I go places and people use their phone for coupons and for payments and stuff and they just hold their phone up, it usually takes them about 5 minutes to get the damn thing on their phone and it holds up the lines. So your explanation for expediency by just showing a phone doesn't work like that. I'm sorry, I'm not from this present generation and printing the ticket out or having a ticket worked just fine. Do you know how much time that took? None. It took no time. Here's the tickets. Thank you. Here's your stub. Go in. How long did that take? A tenth of a second? Now it's, all right, show me the phone. All right, I lost it. Hold on. I got to get it. Internet connection isn't great in here, is it? I'm trying to hear. I can't. This is how people get into places now. They fumble with their phone. It's the only way to get in. Then I get smart. I say, okay, I'll take a I'll take a freeze frame thing, a screenshot of the thing on the phone, and then I'll have it there, and I can bring that up quickly. No, apparently no, Ron. No, you have to show the live app with the animated code going across the screen, the animated bar going across the screen. You cannot do it with a screenshot. They won't let you in like that. Okay, look. Do you know how much money I've spent here and you're hassling me? Fortunately, because I am who I am, I bought insurance on the tickets, which was another $10 a ticket, $10 or $20 a ticket. But I'm glad I did it now because I feel like taking these tickets and shoving it up Ticketmaster's ass and telling my significant other woman that I'm sorry this didn't work out. But I've drawn the line here. I am not to be played with. So I'm in the decision process on that. Then, after complaining to Ticketmaster and speaking to them on the phone, they say, well, look, Mr. Van Dam, which is what they call me when they want to tell me something. Look, Mr. Van Dam, here's what you do. If you go to the theater and you can't get the damn thing up on your phone, I'm sorry, get the thing up on your phone, show them the receipt that you paid, which you do have, show your ID, which I assume you always have with you, and show them the credit card on which you bought it, and they'll let you in. But you have to go to the box office first before you go inside. I said, that sounds like a pain in the ass. I'm not boarding an airplane to Kiev. I'm just trying to get into a theater for which I paid a huge amount of money. I don't need to go through baggage check, although I probably will have to when I enter the theater. They'll probably search me. They'll pat me down. I don't mind being patted down if it's for a sexual encounter, but to go into a theater, not so much. Anyway, so that's my dilemma. You don't have to respond because there's nothing to say. My problem here is this. I'm a little bit older than you are, or I'm a little bit younger. It's one or the other. When I grew up, when Columbus discovered America, by the way, I knew Christopher Columbus, that's how old I am, and he was an asshole then. Anyway, we had no trouble. We got tickets. We gave it to the people. We got inside. We gave the clerk money. They gave us change. We went home. I don't know what this problem is now. Why do we make things more complicated? Now, if you want to add to things and try to make them easier, be my guest. But don't shut out the old way of doing it, which is the simplest. You still have printers, don't you? Oh, actually, Ron, a lot of people don't have printers anymore. Oh, I see. But a lot of people do. That's right. What about the people that don't have cell phones, who have decided I do not want to get involved? Or they have cell phones so that they can make phone calls and keep tabs with other people. Hey, I'm waiting at the restaurant. When are you going to show up? That kind of thing. And you call them. That's okay, I suppose. But if you decide not to have internet on your phone and pay the internet prices, simply use your phone as a phone, well then, no, I'm sorry, you can't, because then you can't go to the theater and you can't do other things where you're expected and needed to do certain things, to download certain things in order to get certain things, that services that you would need in order to do what you wanted to do. My point is, don't get rid of the other method. What's your problem with that? How difficult is it, Ticketmaster, to send me an email with the tickets in it. What's your problem? I don't know what Ticketmaster's response would be. Well, we don't really, when people come in with a printed ticket, we don't know it's really them. So, they got it. Whoever has a ticket gets in. What's your problem? Somebody paid for the seat. There's the ticket. What is your problem? Well, Ron, we're getting a lot of people who are actually duplicating tickets and printing them out, so we had to stop that. Oh, what the hell do you care? Someone bought the seat. What do you care if it's the person actually who has it with ticket? What's your problem? Well, there is no problem. That's right. There is no problem. And that's the theme of my discussion today. What's the problem? There is no problem. Lord. You people kill me. You know, you can't advance without killing what you had previously, which was not so bad. What was the problem with the ticket thing before? Nothing. There was no problem. So who do I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for senior citizens who don't do the apps. And I feel sorry for the people that have decided I care not to carry a cell phone. I just don't do it and I choose not to. Oh, well, then you can't do what you want in this country otherwise. You must have a cell phone. Oh, is that the law? Is it the law now? I'm being shut out of things because I'm not carrying a cell phone. Is that the new law? One of the things I always laugh at is when there's going to be a big storm somewhere and they say, expect to lose your power, charge your cell phones, because that would be, the internet would be your way of, getting there. And then there's a power outage. And, and they're saying, you know, keep up to date as to when you're going to get your power back or to report that, just call us from your home phone. Let us know that you've lost your power and we'll keep you updated. So then you lose your power and you have no way to get updated because you have no internet. So how do you keep up? You're telling me to do it, but yet you're not giving me the power to do it. Well, did you charge your cell phone? Yes, but not anymore. Now it's out of batteries. My cell phone only lasts for 4 hours because my battery is weak. Well, then you shouldn't be living. Well, then call from your house phone. House phone? Who has a house phone anymore? I do. Problem is, my house phone is supplied by Comcast. If Comcast goes out, I have no landline. So, I mean, it just... We're sorry that you've lost power for 4 days. Keep in touch with us and we'll keep you updated. How do I do that? I have no power. Well, keep it tuned to your local television station. I don't have TV. Well, listen to us on your radio. I can't. I don't have any electricity. Do you have batteries in your radio? They're dead. Well, then you can't live. It's a crazy world, kids. It really is. I try to make sense of it, and I don't. My message here is there's nothing wrong with going forward with technology and having all these kinds of gadgets and technology updated things. Go for it. Have a good time with it. But don't kill the old stuff that didn't really have a problem. I'm not asking you to bring back VHS tapes or anything like that. But let me print my tickets. What the hell's wrong with you? Okay, we have a guest coming up momentarily. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, my guest will indeed be joining us. But until that time arrives, how about this?
Have you been injured in an auto accident or on the job? Do you want to make sure that you get the best possible settlement when you go to court? Then you need to call me, Attorney Jack Barnes, from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. For over 10 years, I've been getting my clients the best possible settlements, and often more than they actually deserve, based solely on the sound of my voice. Judges and juries want to get me out of the courtroom as fast as possible. That's why they're ready to settle when they're dealing with Jack Barnes from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. Call today for a free consultation. 1-800-257-2525. That's 1-800-257-2525. Call today. You can't lose with Jack Barnes.
Hi, this is world-renowned hypnotist Carl Brugenheim. I've performed hilarious group participation hypnosis shows at venues all over New England. And now, I'd like to announce I've finally realized a lifelong dream. I've opened the finest seafood restaurant anywhere on the South Shore. It's called Suggestions.
Suggestions.
And you're gonna love it. You are gonna love it. You're gonna love it. We've got lobster, we've got clams, we've got freshly caught haddock, and we have a baked stuffed shrimp that will absolutely blow your mind. But you don't have to believe me. Listen to some testimony from some of my recent customers. What do you think, Larry Verville of North Bridgewater?
I love Suggestions. They have a baked shrimp there that absolutely blew my mind.
How about you, Kristen Harris of Brockton?
I love Suggestions. They have a baked shrimp there that absolutely blew my mind.
Suggestions is located at 522 Bertram Road in Hingham. Just take Route 17 North from 98, get off at exit 9, and hang a left at Deuce Hardware. What do you think, Mitchell family of East Bridgewater?
We love Suggestions. They have a big shrimp that will absolutely blow your mind.
Suggestions. Make reservations for Friday night right now. Make those reservations. Friday night. Friday night's when you want to go. Friday. You will go Friday. Friday night is when you're going to go to Suggestions. Friday. Friday night.
Suggestions.
Jason Levine joins us. He's Director of Governmental Affairs, Policy and Strategic Planning, and National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And we're talking about, well, thanks for being here, first of all, Jason.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're talking about, oh my God, it's spring. Can you believe that? And we're changing time zone things in order to totally confuse everybody. But certain things happen during the spring. Jason, tell me about that.
Sure. Every year, NHTSA, that's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, we recognize a week in March as Vehicle Safety Recalls Week, as you mentioned, just ahead of daylight saving time. Why do we do it now? Because we want to remind people, when you're changing your clocks, also check for vehicle safety recall. And you can do that at NHTSA.gov, NHTSA.gov/recalls.
Now, when there is a safety recall by an auto manufacturer, do they usually send emails or letters, or sometimes you may not get it? What's behind that?
Sure. So you are required, manufacturers that is, are required to send first-class mail to the owner of the vehicle, the registered owner of the vehicle, uh-huh, for which there's a recall. But unfortunately, we all know they don't always get there. Sometimes because maybe it's the second or third owner of the vehicle. Sometimes the mail gets lost, or sometimes right, the mail gets delivered, but people don't open it or don't realize how important it is.
Right.
There were 1,000 safety recalls on vehicles last year affecting 40 million vehicles. We want to make sure that everyone who has one of those gets it fixed.
I'm aware of some recalls that were announced a couple of weeks ago on the local news here where I live, but they said to contact the your service people, get an appointment, and they'll be able to do it in the fall, like they're not available to do it just yet, or the parts aren't in, or something like that. And yet, I think the vehicle went forward even though it was in park or something, and I thought, well, why are you telling me about the dangers of my car, but I can't do anything about it just now? How does that work?
Sure. So that is always a difficulty. Sometimes there is a gap between when the safety problem has been identified,
yep,
and announced to the public and when the fix is available. So maybe that's because you need to make a new part. Maybe it's because you need to make sure you get that part shipped out to all the dealers.
Right.
Or maybe it's just making sure that the fix works. But it is important that consumers know that there's an issue. and that sometimes there are steps you can take to try and mitigate that problem.
I see.
You know, there's been some vehicles that are at risk of catching fire, so you know, people are advised to park that vehicle outside of their home until that fix is available. But what I do want to emphasize, you mentioned something important there. The place to get those repairs made is your dealership.
Uh-huh.
It could be your local dealership. It could be the one closer to work. It doesn't have to be the one where you bought the vehicle.
Right.
Any authorized dealer for your vehicle can do the repair, and they have to do it for free.
Uh-huh.
That's the law. And then sometimes people don't realize that. They either have to pay for it. Recall repairs are always free.
Okay. Now, how would I find out, perhaps I did move, or perhaps my neighbors got my mail or something like that? How would I indeed find out if my automobile is in a recall kind of situation? Where do I go?
Absolutely. You go to our website, nhtsa.nhtsa.gov/recalls. And what's exciting for us this year is we just launched a new tool where you can use your license plate number to look up to see whether you have a recall, or the traditional way, which is using your vehicle identification number. That's that 17-digit unique identifier. It's on your dashboards, in your door jams, on your insurance card. But now you can just use your license plate. If you visit our website, it'll tell you whether you have an open recall. The other way to do it is, if you prefer to do it via app, you can download the Safer Car app.
Mm-hmm.
Put in that vehicle identification number. It'll tell you whether you have an open recall now, or you can set it up to tell you if you have one in the future. That's something that's also really great. So next, you know, when you're falling back in the fall, or we're getting to next year, maybe you won't have to check because you've already got the Safer Car app.
I gotcha. Jason, I remember when I first started driving, there was a recall on my first car, and I thought, well, I'm returning this. They sold me something defective. I don't want it. I found out that's not how that works.
That's not quite how it works.
But also, most automobiles, because you have to be, you know, up on it, most automobiles do get recalls here and there for all different reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, vehicles are complicated machinery,
yeah.
and recalls are not uncommon. So, but what is important for your listeners to know is that vehicle safety recalls are always safety related. There's no such thing as a cosmetic recall.
Mm-hmm.
Recalls only happen because there's a defect or a violation of a safety regulation.
Right.
So if you do get that letter, or hopefully you go today, NHTSA.gov, NHTSA.gov, uh-huh. check it out, see if you have a recall. You'll realize this is something important. It could be your brakes, your lights, your airbags. It could be something, a component catch vehicle on fire, or something a lot of people don't realize. Doesn't have to be the car itself. It could be something in the car.
Yeah.
Car seats,
yeah.
for example. Yeah. Over 100,000 car seats were recalled last year. Find that out on our website. If you're a parent and you have one of those car seats, make sure you get it dealt with.
Great. And it is a good thing, actually, that this notification system does happen. We should be thankful. No question about it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is vital. You know, most of these things can be fixed. Get you back out on the road.
Yeah.
But we do want to make sure, unfortunately, millions of people with open safety recalls don't ever find out about them. That's why I'm here talking to you, hoping your listeners are going to pass it along. And like I said, with the license plate lookup, maybe you're the car person in your house. You can look up not just your car, but your spouse's
yeah.
car, your parents, your kids.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
Yeah. Kids, they definitely won't do it. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean that in a truthful manner.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not top of mind for everyone, so we
no.
want to make sure we put it there and remind people those repairs are both about safety.
Yeah,
and they are free.
That's absolutely true. What I do is when my kids come by, I check their the windshield to make sure that their registration hasn't elapsed or their inspection sticker is up to date, because sometimes I miss that too. Okay.
So we're gonna add this to your checklist.
Thank you, sir. And the batteries in my smoke detector, as the fire department would say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Safe cars mean safe lives.
One more time, that website where we go, please.
Absolutely. It's nhtsa.nhtsa.gov/recalls.
Perfect. He's Jason Levine. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace. Go away now. Go do something that you were going to do anyway before you decided to listen to this.